Hello and welcome to this week's episode of the Rugby Rundown. I am one of your hosts, Alex Corbacero, and usually joining me is Will Hooley. Will? I'm joking. Will isn't here this week. He's obviously just finished his first weekend of MLR broadcasting. I thought he was outstanding across the weekend, giving his insight to multiple games, and he is traveling back at the moment and couldn't make it on this week's show. But don't worry, it's not just me. You're not going to have 30 plus minutes of me just talking, as much as I'd love that. Joining us as our co-host for this week's Rugby Rundown, it's about time we had a proper American voice on this show, the one and only Christian Dyer, mate. Welcome to the show.
Oh, man. Thanks for having me. Stoked to be here. And I bet the audience is going to be a little surprised to have an American accent, finally.
Yes, us Anglo-Americans, as Will likes to say. I feel like more of a hybrid anyway, and you can probably tell in the way I talk. But yeah, it's good to have you on. Yep. And, you know, obviously, first off, you know, fresh off of round one of the MLR, how did it feel to be back out there as a player?
Oh, I'll tell you what, I was happy preseason was over. And, you know, I kind of got the butterflies a couple days before the game, some unfamiliar feelings. You know, it's been a while since I've played a game of rugby, but I had so much energy. I was buzzing for it. The team showed up. The vibe was great. And I think everybody was just excited to compete and get back into the season.
Awesome. And obviously always good to start with a win as well, I'm sure. And how's the body feeling after its first proper hit out?
I'm sore, but I could tell you I'm not as sore as our forwards because they fronted up. They were physical from minute zero to minute 80. So hats off to them. But I'm definitely a little achy.
So let's get into it first with our MLR round one rundown.
Let's do it.
All right, Christian, let's crack into this round one MLR rundown. And we'll start with your game first. A big one at home, Houston SaberCats 22 to Utah Warriors 15. Must be chuffed with the result, but talk us through the game a little bit.
Yeah, no, I'm stoked with it. Definitely learnings and lessons and opportunities that, you know, we wish we could take back, and we'll just do our best to make them right for next week. But physical game, you know, I give a lot of credit to our forwards for fronting up for the entirety of the match. We knew Utah was going to bring a really stylish brand of rugby. They moved the ball side to side very well. They've got some really great playmakers. Great to see Paul Asike back in their lineup after that injury, and he looked like he never even got injured in the first place. So that was awesome to see. But we just controlled territory for the first half. And our penalty count was really low in that first half. And that's why we were successful for the first 40 minutes. Bit of a drop off in the second half where I think we lost the kicking game for a bit. And we just let ourselves down with penalties, put them back in our 22. They got a quick tap penalty. They got a quick tap try. And that's really what kept them in the game. So if we can right some of those wrongs and just be a little more cognizant with our discipline, I'm confident that we can carry that momentum into the next week.
No, I completely agree. I felt that you boys, obviously early on, stomped your authority in the forward pack. Some really strong scrum penalties as well, which I thought made a difference. And then driving Maul try looked very, very dominant there. And good to see Ronan Murphy as well getting across the line in his first MLR game for the SaberCats as well. And a young domestic talent in the back row as well, kind of showing that physical, direct nature that you boys had. And then for me, you know, you boys are looking strong as you roll into round two.
You don't have to be too nice now that I'm on the show.
All right, let's move on to game number two, which was NOLA versus Old Glory. That one saw NOLA picking up the win at home, 18-6 over Old Glory. And, you know, it was Old Glory who went up early in this one, Christian. 6 points on the board from the boot of Robertson. Yep. Seemed to be like they were sort of finding their way into the game. But then NOLA just sort of took over, and 18 unanswered points was all she wrote.
Yeah, and we played NOLA preseason game 2 weeks ago, and I knew they're a strong team, and they have playmakers that move the ball side to side really well. They've got some strong finishers, some strong ball carriers, so I knew it was only a matter of time before NOLA climbed their way back into that game. Question marks with DC, you know, their preseason was a bit iffy. Spoke to some players, and it wasn't as much rugby as they hoped for, but they said they're fit, they're excited for the year. Who knows if that played an impact on the game, but hats off to NOLA for pulling it off.
Yeah, no, I thought NOLA was strong. Obviously, a strong scrum turnover as well led to, I think, the first break it, first try of the game after what was deadlocked and sort of a kicking battle up to like the 60th odd minute as well. And then Nola just finishing strong. So great to see them start off with a win. And, you know, Old Glory now, they'll have a tough test in the Free Jacks coming up, which we'll preview later. But let's move on to our next game. And that was the clash of the week. Huge game. Obviously, my own team, San Diego Legion, traveling up to the Seattle Seawolves. And this was an arm wrestle of a game. Seattle becoming winners right at the depth, 25-19. You know, with that last minute or last play of the game try from Tavita Lapeti, obviously went to TMO review. I don't envy TMOs and refs having to make game deciding calls. You know, I'm obviously probably going to be a little bit biased. I thought it was a knock on. Obviously, some people will probably think it was slap forward. I don't think that's really the decider of the game for me. I think Seattle defended very well. They kicked. They had good territory for me. And I think they probably were deservedly should have probably been ahead. But for the fight of San Diego, I thought that we, going down to 14 men for 30 minutes, found a way to get that try in the second half, started to chip away at the scoreboard, and really credit the boys for being up by a point considering how the game had gone. But I think two big Western rivals, and it was an arm wrestle of a game that, you know, went down to some small margins.
Yeah, and I mean, credit to you boys in that second half for climbing your way back into that game, but that just shows how much experience you guys have on your roster. The likes of Marcel Baraki, and then coupled with the young energy. Unfortunately, Peyton Talea got the card, had to get sent off. I've known him for a while, so I hope he has a big season because he's a talented player. With the likes like Josh Henderson, you saw his boot, 50-something meter kick, slotted it, gave a little shush to the sideline. But you guys are a complete team, just like Seattle is, 1 through 23. And you guys strike the balance between a strong forward pack and dynamic back. So I knew it was going to be an arm wrestle. I knew it was going to be a close game. Unfortunately, it didn't go your guys' way this week, but you'll have another chance round two.
The Seattle and Alan Clark, they've added a lot of some new weapons. Pulu on the wing, I thought, was a real threat as well for them. He's obviously a domestic in this league as well, which is an amazing pickup. I think it shows both those teams are going to be very competitive this season. Yep. And, you know, obviously gutted from a San Diego Legion point of view not to get the win. But at the same time, you know, lots of lessons from Legion. I think discipline really probably killed us. Getting on the wrong side of the referee's whistle is never a recipe to be successful in a game of rugby. So we've got some areas to improve, but also proud of the boys' fight and the start that we made. All right, let's get on to our next game, which saw the Miami Sharks host the Chicago Hounds in their first ever game in the MLR, Miami. They put up some fight in that game. Obviously, Chicago winning 23-19 in what was torrential rain downpour. What was tough conditions all around. And, you know, I think Chicago, obviously a lot of hype behind them this year, have some great signings, great coaching additions, and they seem to be in control for a lot of the game. I just think for me, probably how bad the rain was, the amount of pressure and territory they had limited what they could do in attack. And I thought Miami fronted up really well on the tight. I thought their set piece looked good. Their physicality and D and the forwards for a year one team, very, very impressive. Their scrum looked good against what is a very good Chicago scrum as well. And then I think with their experience at 9 and 10, especially Thomas Cabelli at 9, they were able to rally and make it a very tight photo finish where I think Chicago at one point looked very much in control, would have been very happy to get out of there, with the 4 points.
Yeah, no, the weather definitely played an impact on that game. Chicago has some skilled players, and the weather didn't allow them to utilize those skill sets and those players' attributes. So I definitely think that had an impact. And on a drier day, we might see a different brand of rugby. But hats off to Miami. I mean, a bunch of Argentinians, a bunch of quality domestic players, and they brought the energy and vibe. And you could tell it seemed contagious just from watching through my computer screen. And that's awesome to see from a first year in the league, first year team. So definitely promising signs for them. I know they're going to get some momentum sometime in this season and upset some teams.
Absolutely. Then our next game as well saw RFC LA hosting the Dallas Jackals in LA, kicking off their run as an MLR franchise at Dignity Health Sports Park after the LA Sevens. And it looked like it was going to be all one-way traffic at one point. LA off to a blistering start, tries from Andrew Coe, a couple of tries from him, actually, just showing that exciting, expansive game that LA has to them. I thought the set-piece battle was very competitive as well, where LA scrum, I thought, had some really good moments as well. But then, I think just before halftime, Dallas just rolled their sleeves up in the forwards. They finally got that driving maul rolling and they got on the wrong side of the referee's whistle. Yellow cards started to creep in. And that's where I thought Dallas sort of took the game by the scruff of the neck and really fought their way back in with a dramatic finish with a drop goal to eventually win it.
Crazy ending. And you never know how a brand new organization and the team's going to go first run out. But to see LA running from their 22 when everybody thought they were going to exit and kick, and then they go hands down the side. Andrew Coe puts a hooker away in the right corner for a try. I was like, wow, you know, they're impressive. And I knew they were going to play an expansive brand of rugby with Steve Brett as head coach. But I give them a lot of credit. But hey, Dallas came back. Set piece was strong. Hats off to my buddy, Sam Gala, captain over there, you know, Cal Bear forever. But he led the boys well, and their maul was effective. And I think that's going to have to become part of their identity going forward this year, is they have a really strong forward pack and they better use that as a solid foundation for their skilled backs out wide.
No, the maul eventually just became unstoppable. And I think pretty much all their tries coming from Kota at hooker there as well with the maul. And yeah, as LA started to drop yellow cards, they started putting more pressure on there. They were even adding their backs in, coming there to join to get it over the line. And it was, you know, it might not be the prettiest rugby to some, but it was their real key to success in that game, as they'll be chuffed to start the MLR with a win, which is something I don't think they'd ever done before. So I think you've got to really credit the Dallas Jackals there for getting that win. And LA will be gutted that looked like they'd done enough to win. And that's just some of the lessons you learn. You get on the wrong side of the ref with discipline, and rugby can be a very, very tough place to play. And then on to our next game, which saw Anthem hosting the Free Jacks in their MLR debut. And obviously it was the Free Jacks comfortable winners in the end, 46-13. And I think they looked very much in control. It was a big step up for a lot of the young players for Anthem. But I also thought Anthem deserved some credit for how they fought back at the end and sort of found their way into the game.
Yeah, young, energetic crew out there with some experience, with Jake Turnbull, captain of the side, leading the charge in the forward pack. It's going to take them a few weeks to find their identity and start gelling. But they have an amazing coaching staff. They have some young, hungry players that are ready to put their mark in American rugby. So I think it's only a matter of time. But it just shows what type of team Scott Matthews has with the New England Free Jacks. I mean, they're very well-rounded. Strong forward pack with really dynamic backs. And like you saw, a hat trick from Reese McDonald. He was the Energizer Bunny running around the entire field. So well done, Reese.
Yeah, picking up where he left off in that MLR final for sure. And to obviously get a bit more insight into this game and the New England Free Jacks, that sort of lines up our next guest perfectly, as we have head coach on from the Free Jacks, Scott Matthews himself. And we are joined by head coach of the Free Jacks, Scott Matthews. Welcome to the Rundown, mate. Great to have you on.
Great to be on. Evening, gents. Always good to see your faces, eh?
No, absolutely. Obviously, you know, first off, I think we've got to, you know, touch on last year, hugely successful season for the Free Jacks. Obviously, heartbreak for the San Diego Legion in the final. But, you know, what an impressive season you had, and how are you sort of taking some of that momentum and success and bringing it forward to this upcoming season?
Yeah, look, really special year. You know, I think a lot of things fell right for us, and I think that often has to happen if you win a trophy. A lot of things have to go your way. Some things out of your control too. You know, but I think the important thing is just making sure you like we were able to keep some key players and some key leaders, and I think that's always really important. Like that cohesion that you have that and you create, and I think those players, I think once they've been in the system for a while, as soon as new boys enter in, you know, they almost they're custodians of that culture, if you will, you know, and you start actually doing less and less as a coach in terms of the environment, and the environment kind of runs itself, which is, I think, has been really something that we've seen so far in this preseason. And, you know, it's often when that's in a good place, then, you know, you start getting that cohesion on the field too. You know, that takes a bit of time, but that's the goal. That's the aim.
Yeah, Scott, just to echo off what Alex said, hats off to you guys last season. And I can tell you guys have it going well for you guys just by the vibe I can feel from all the players. You guys were just at our facility 2 weeks ago, and I can just tell it was contagious. So hats off to you guys there. Talk to me a bit about your guys' preseason. What was the emphasis on, the focus on, and, you know, lead into the preseason games, putting you guys up for success early on in this season?
Yeah, it's I think it's always been the same. You know, we always want to keep evolving things. You know, we don't drift too far away from what makes us us, you know. And that's always based around hard work and that humility. And, you know, we often have quite a lot of no-name brands, but it's kind of what we're about, and just working hard. And just, I think the biggest thing is getting those new players that are coming in used to how we do things, and what our standards, and, you know, what we look for, and how we go about the game, because it's pretty specific and pretty, I think everyone's got their own style and own way of doing things. And I like to think we've got our own way, and that takes time for new players to adjust to. So I think the preseason has been, it's been tough, but it's been pretty enjoyable, eh? So we try and get a good balance between that hard work and that fun off the field too, you know. And I think if we get that right, then yeah, you start seeing that connection play itself out in the field, eh? Yeah.
And you touched on new signings. You know, talk us about some of the new signings coming in, who's impressed you so far in preseason and your opening game, and just a bit of light on some of those for maybe the fans listening and watching that aren't as aware.
Yeah, so I think it's been good, you know, get a couple of the boys out. One or two of them's got a few niggles, which is always heartbreaking when they've put in such a big preseason. But I think it was nice to see Daniel Morgan Purarangi get a good run. He's got a good turn of pace, which was great. The big lad, John Roy Jenkinson, he was with me at Greek Quiz, so it's nice to be reacquainted with his abilities in the scrum, which is great. Yeah, and then I think what's also really, really great is just getting Carl Bailey. You know, he had a great year in DC, and, you know, acquainted with his fellow Canucks here in New England. So good to have his leadership on board, and yeah, and good to see them get a run out. You know, yesterday they all get their first games for the club, so it's exciting.
Talk to me about this past weekend, dominant performance over Anthem. Now, that's both credit to you guys having such an established organization and the brand of rugby that you guys produce, but also Anthem's brand new to the league, so there's going to be some moving parts on their front. But from your perspective, how'd it go? Scoreboard is in your favor, but I know the type of coach you are, so you're always looking at missed opportunities and things you guys can improve on for next week.
Yeah, I think it was a patchy game. You know, I think in parts, I think we could look at different parts of the game and go, wow, we did that really well, or that was really effective, and that looked great, and that's part of what we want, you know. But I think it's just parts of the puzzle. I think if we look at that and we take a proper, real hard look at ourselves, we start to see like areas, you start to see all the areas of opportunity we probably missed out on, or the learnings that we could take. And I think there's a lot of learnings and work-ons that we can take from there, but all positive ones. I think things that, you know, we're tracking in the right direction, but the execution wasn't quite right. Or maybe there's just a bit of more education, understanding around different things. And that all comes to light often in first games, you know. But I think the biggest thing for me, I was really impressed by Anthem. You know, they're always going to put it on the line. But I mean, for those young guys to come out there, and, you know, it's very easy to be, I guess, your first game against last year's champs, to go, gee, and be overwhelmed, or, you know, and I just felt they had a lot of energy about them. It's a really great stadium, by the way. Like, I was super impressed by it. It's going to be a really value add for the league, man. So, yeah, I think credit to those boys. They did some good stuff, and they put us under pressure in a few situations. So it was good, man.
Yeah, no, over 2,000 fans in the first ever home game as well. And a short run-in, I thought, was a great sight to see as well. But that's sort of game one. Let's talk a little bit about game two. And you guys have a big game this week, obviously playing an East Coast rival in Old Glory DC, a team you met in the Eastern Conference Final last year. They're obviously coming in off a loss. They'll be desperate to get back in the win column against you boys. And it's your first home game as well, back in front of your guys' fans.
Man, yeah, I'm excited. I can't wait to get back to the fort there with all our passionate supporters. I mean, I know they've been excited about this one for a while. Just get back and start the season again at in Quincy. But yeah, DC for me, a really good team. Like I think Simon Cross has come in there, and you can already see a bit of a blueprint happening there. They're defensively, aggressive, very dominant in that area. They still got their set piece strength, especially at mall time. And they got the pack two mall. So you know we're going to have to be really on disciplined, and we're going to have to be take the learnings from this last game and really apply them effectively if we want to get success out of this game, you know.
Yeah, and just to cap it off, we'd love to hear your thoughts on where the MLR is today, you know, how it's evolved over the past couple of years, and your perspective on the level of competition throughout the league. Because in my personal experience, it felt like there's a couple teams in each conference which were dominant, and there was a big drop off from the bottom two. But this year, it feels like 1 through 5, 1 through 6 in each, you know, division is competitive, and you're going to have to be on your game week in and week out.
Yeah, I mean, you can just look at the scores from the weekend, and I mean, geez, most of them were all one score games, weren't they? And I think, you know, as the season goes, I think it's always injuries take a toll, but what we're starting to see in the league, and we always speak about it, like the league's getting stronger every year. I mean, but the quality is getting better of player, quality of coach, I guess, is that's always improving. But it's also the squad size is getting bigger in each team. Teams are realizing now with a bit bigger squad size, you can cope with the 16 to 18 game season. And I think that's been quite noticeable for me, as teams are being able to put out bigger squads and will be able to go deeper in the season. So I think that's pretty exciting. So I think you're going to get a better product just for the fans further on. Like it'll just keep going throughout the season. That drop off, I think, for some teams where they get a couple of injuries now, I don't think we'll see that bigger drop off anymore, you know. So, which is great for the league, man. It's exciting, and with Anthem coming in, you've got this whole young American group of players that are just getting fostered and you know, harvested over there and in Charlotte. So, I think there's a lot of excitement around this. You know, it's an ever changing league, and I think it'll continue to be. But I think that's just the excitement of it, you know. Yeah. And you can always measure it when the foreign boys come over and guys come over from New Zealand and stuff. I think they're always a little bit – that they're more surprised about the standard than anything else. They're not going, oh, this is what I expect. They're like, oh, okay, it's pretty physical, or there's stuff happening, you know. So, yeah, it's all been positive too, and there's positive – I'm only hearing good things, so that's great. Yeah.
That's awesome.
That's awesome, Scott, mate. And yeah, we've taken up enough of your time. Wishing you all the best in your game this weekend. And thanks again for coming on the Rugby Rundown.
No, awesome. Thanks, guys. And good luck to you boys too.
Appreciate it.
Cheers. Awesome to have Scott on the show. You know, no secret when you hear the man speak of why he's so loved by his players and also been so successful in the MLR so far. Next up, it is time to look back at our MLR round one predictions. Will and myself tried our best to make these picks. Obviously, very hard to go off preseason results. And obviously, we'll be trying to keep a tally on these across the episodes as we go to see maybe who's been more successful. Obviously, this weekend, I'm taking it home. The victory was 66% success rates in my results, while Will was at 50% success as well. A tough one as well as that late minute try from the Seattle Seawolves took away my 1 point prediction for San Diego win. But as we look across, these were our predictions. Not too bad considering where we could have been, but still so hard to call in this MLR.
Thanks for listening to the Rugby Rundown. MLR Rundown begins featuring Scott Mavie. You've been listening to a shortened version because the full episode is only to be watched on the Rugby Network, where you'll see all the highlights, all the graphics and more. That includes week two predictions, USA Sevens, LA Rundown, College Action and of course Final Whistle. So make sure to go to the Rugby Network to watch the full episode and get yourself ready again for another week of Rugby Action.